Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome. You're listening to Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we answer your questions, queries you have regarding the Islamic upbringing of your children. The answers are based upon the Noble Quran and the narrations of Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, and his purified progeny. Well, parenting or child rearing promotes and supports the physical, emotional, social, spiritual, and intellectual development of a child from infancy to his adulthood. And the same relationship could actually go up somewhere and it could go down. Sometimes it can actually be supporting and sometimes it can be distorting. Now, today in our studio, we have with us a guest speaker, Professor Salman Nakavi, who is a faculty member at Al-Mustafa University. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome.
Thank you very much.
Well, Professor, you have been talking with us for quite a while now that what are the different key points that help a parent-child relationship to become better? And you said it should be truthfulness not only in the speech, but also in the actions, and also expression of love, which is very, very important to make this parent-child relationship a better one. What is the third point that you want to discuss?
As I said, we start off with being truthful, and the truthful expression of love is important. If loving a person, without loving a person, you cannot change him. You can't expect to change him, because the important thing is that we want you want him to change, you want her to change. So you need to love him for that. Your child or he does not realize that you are doing so because you love him, and he feels or she feels rejected, or he will not accept anything from you. And then thirdly, which is much more important apparently, is that you need to empathize with them, not sympathize. Sympathies are important. So what the difference between sympathizing
and empathizing?
Empathizing, what is the difference? The difference is when you sympathize with a person, you say, oh, he feels, if I give him some medicine and he won't like it, you, out of your sympathy, especially mothers, they can't bear the child being, you know, pricked with a needle, and say, oh, let him, don't take him out. There's no need to give him this injection. He will cry and I will not be able to bear it. And I'm so that's maybe sympathizing. But the empathy is, no, you empathize with him. You feel how he feels. And you feel that, look, you make yourself understand that you need to be in his place or in her place, and to do what is important for him or what is important for her. That's empathizing.
As Bill Bullard puts it, that the highest form of knowledge is empathy. So even if you're expressing your form of knowledge in any other way, you could actually express it in a better way in the form of empathy.
Exactly. So empathizing is putting yourself in the other person's place, and before he or she even expresses something,
you understand
that you understand, and you take a lead in resolving the problem of a person. That is a very important thing that we need to realize. The Holy Prophet is described in the Holy Quran to be the person who is azizun alayhi ma'anittum.
All right.
It is important. It is very grave for the Holy Prophet what happens upon you, for you as your his followers. O you mu'mineen, raufum bil mu'mineen. He has love for you, and he feels very much concerned with which is whatever befalls you, whatever you are stricken with. He realizes that. He empathizes with you, and he comes up with a solution before you can even understand and realize it. So therefore, we need to empathize with our with.
So sometimes we could actually use the same prophetic stories being. If we want to teach with our words, with our speech, so this is the best form of the things you're teaching through speech, that you are actually recalling with your children, with your teens, the stories of prophet wherein they have been empathetic towards others.
Exactly. Empathizing with others, especially your children, to make them, you feel that you feel for them because you know what they're going through. The problem is that nowadays our parents even don't realize what children are going through. A child, especially in adolescence, in the age of adolescence, is going through so much of a change.
Stress,
and transformation
changes.
And change.
Yeah.
When we were at that age, we also went through that, but we have forgotten that.
Yeah.
We have, most of us have forgotten what befell us.
Yeah.
We don't remember that. And we can't therefore empathize.
But so. Everything has some of the impact that remains with you in your adulthood. We'll talk more with you on this topic after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. We have had the pleasure to be with Professor Salman Naqvi, and we are discussing empathy as a key point to develop a better parent-child relationship. Professor, you said that empathy is very, very important. If it's in speech, and you should, the best form is that you go on telling the prophetic stories to your teens, to your children, and at the same time, you were giving us more explanation.
So we need to, number one, be able to foresee or forecast or see what problems a child can face in his life or in her life. In everyday issues, you need to be there for him. You need to be there for her, whether it is going through schooling or going through other stages in their lives. In the, especially their adolescence, you need to be able to understand and to realize and to visualize your that stage. And before,
so the first problem, according to you, here with the parents today, is that we really don't know what the child is going through, especially their teenager. What a child is going through, and because when there comes a teenage, and then this child feels like there's some generation gap within me and my parents, and then he starts hiding quite a few things, or maybe the behavior in the family has been in a way that a child, he actually prefers to keep things hidden from his parents.
Yes, he or she may feel embarrassed by the fact that if he or she wants to relate something to his father or his mother, he can't do so. Because he feels his parents can't even understand, or they cannot feel for him.
Well, Professor, there's one this very important point that you discussed here, that embarrassment. This is because of embarrassment sometimes that a teenager hides things from his parents, wherein he needs empathy. But at some of the points, it's because I have been actually interacting with a couple of teenagers, and who come up and say that we don't share things with our parents, or we don't want their empathy, because rather than being empathetic to us, they start behaving like a police. All right, now if this is a problem, you were not supposed to do this. You were not supposed to do this. So they start lecturing. So don't you think parents go wrong over here?
That is the problem, because they feel the parents feel that instead of feeling for their children, they start feeling bad about themselves, because they start thinking, look, if my child has done this wrong thing, if my other family members or my neighbors find out about this, then it will be an embarrassing situation for me. So they start becoming worried about their own status,
yeah,
and their social problems that they may face in the society. So again, they're not empathizing with their child, they're empathizing with themselves.
With themselves.
So that is the problem normally. When, for example, you find a child who needs to get married and his parents are not getting him married, he goes off with a girl goes off with a boy goes off with a girl, and they get, into a situation. And then the parents can't accept that.
Yeah.
Whereas they were the cause of that. They did not realize that this child or this girl needs to get married.
So, Professor, we'll discuss more with you after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "He who has a child must treat him in a childish manner."
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio, and this is Islamic Upbringing. We have Professor Salman Lakhvi with us in the studio, and we're discussing empathy as a key point to develop a better parent-child relationship. Professor, you were saying there are so many teenagers who feel like just fleeing from the home, or sometimes the situations go worse. They feel like much worse things than that, and that's because of lack of empathy. And why that empathy does not exist? You said that sometimes parents feel like they are empathetic towards their children, but they are actually empathy. They express empathy towards themselves only, not for their children. So
they feel bad about themselves. They feel bad. They feel bad about their children, but they feel worse about themselves, because they feel they will lose their distinguished position they may have in society. Now the problem is they should preempt that. This should be preemption. For example, nowadays, especially in the age of social media, in the age of the internet, the problem is many of our parents do not know what's happening in the internet.
Yeah.
Many of our parents do not keep abreast with what's happening today in the social media.
Yeah.
And of course, they consider it maybe they don't have time for it, or it is something new. They are not aware of it. They are old. They belong to the older generation of people who didn't know much about social media. Or, for example, they don't know. They feel it is off limits. Maybe there are things which they do not want to see. They cannot see, because really it is prohibited. But their children are being exposed to it, so they should know what's happening. And they need to preempt that. Now, stopping and limiting things is important. Yes, for example, we have the YouTube for kids, maybe, or YouTube or Netflix for kids. That's good. Or other, for example, ways to limit the exposure that our children have. There should be ways to limit that. There should be ways to provide alternatives. So the important thing is that if we want our children to be, protected from the harms of these things which are going around themselves.
Parents also need to educate themselves.
The parents do need to know what's happening. They need to know how to preempt it. They need to know how to protect their children.
Yeah.
And that is learning that they have to do. And sometimes we don't have that learning. So if we need to empathize with our children, we need to know what they're facing, what they are going through. So they need to keep a watchful eye. It shouldn't be in such a way that the child feels that he is being, imposed upon, or there's a person always watching upon me. There should be some subtle ways of being able to monitor what's happening.
All right.
But the parents today need to be much more clever than before.
Yeah, so because the time is changing at a very fast pace that we can even imagine. Well, to conclude, it is just we have to be empathetic. We have to be simply listening. We have to hold the space, and we have to withhold our judgments. And we also have to be giving the message to our children that you're not alone. We are with you. Well, thank you so much, Professor. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.